have a reading this morning. It's from the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 2. Hebrews is always, I find it's always hard, it's hard to find. Chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses here from verse 10. We're going to read the remainder of the chapter, and we're going to read verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, beginning in the reading at verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 2, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." We'll end the reading there, and we'll just have a word of prayer, and then you can have your seats this morning. Our Father, this morning, we bless your name that we're able to come in this fashion and come so boldly into your presence, Lord, and before your throne this morning. We bless your name, Lord, for the songs we're able to sing. We ask you, Lord, that your name will be hallowed among us.
Yes.
Even as you taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And Lord, we want to declare your name this morning.
Yes.
We want you to come and declare your name again unto us, Lord. You've already declared it, but we pray you'll declare it again among your people this morning, that you'll manifest your power and you'll manifest your authority in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll help us this morning, and let not anything be said that ought not to be said, but that which is to the edifying of the saints and to the glorification of your holy name. Lord, close us in with thyself now. In Jesus' name we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats this morning. And it's such a lovely morning. And it's maybe a wrong thing to do, but I've decided that I'm not going to take a lot of time to try to preach this morning. And you know, sometimes when you say that, you do the opposite. You know, we say things and then we do something else. But God never does that. And I'm glad that God never says something and then does something different.
Amen.
You know, I wanted to speak this morning about us being partakers. And we are partakers. But when I started to look at it, the thing that I came across, there was two things that I came across. And one of them was the name of the Lord Jesus, and the other one was the sufferings of Christ. And nobody wants to talk about the sufferings, but the sufferings is there. Now, we might touch on it a little, but I want to touch this morning, if I can, on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For We're gathered together this morning in His name. Amen. We're here this morning in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want this morning, if I can, for a while, I want to look at that name for a few moments. I want us to consider that name and consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I mightn't be very good at explaining this morning, but I will try to do it in my own words. The Lord Jesus never came in His own name. Now, don't misunderstand me this morning when I say this. Jesus never talked about His own name. He talked about His Father's name.
Amen.
His Father's name. He said, if another shall come in His own name, that the people would receive him.
That's right.
Now, he was talking about the Antichrist. But he said, I have come in my Father's name.
Amen.
And ye received me not. Now, he said that to the Jews. Now, you know, the birth of Jesus was a wonderful time, wasn't it? It's wonderful, the birth of any baby. The birth of a baby is a time of rejoicing. It's a wonderful thing whenever a child is born into the world. And you know, without taking a lot of time on it, you know, but whenever Mary was expecting the baby Jesus, we know that before she was expecting, she had a visitation from heaven.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the angel Gabriel came, didn't he? And he spoke with Mary and he said, blessed art thou among women.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And the prophet Isaiah could say, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And the angel came to Mary and said that she would conceive in her womb and she would bring forth a son and would call his name Jesus.
Amen.
Call his name Jesus. Now, who picked the name? Who picked the name? Mary didn't pick it. Joseph didn't pick it. There was no aunt or there was no uncle picked it. Because Jesus didn't have, well, Jesus, first of all, he didn't have an aunt or an uncle. He was without descent. He was as Melchizedek was. He was without descent, without father, without mother. Now there's a wee difference there because Jesus had a father.
Amen.
Now I'm not here this morning to create doctrines or theories or try to say this is the right way and this is the wrong way. No, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to declare unto you the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to declare unto you His name. And His name was the name that the Father gave Him. His name was the name that the Father placed on His only begotten Son. Now, I'm very slow at turning the scripture, but don't go away from Hebrews. And I'm going to turn just to Matthew chapter 1. If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, if you want to bring it up on the laptop, Matthew, if you can bring up Matthew chapter 1, and it's verses 21 to 23. Now, you see, really and truly, there's a lot of sermons here this morning. There's maybe three sermons trying to put into one sermon. But this is the angel and he's addressing Mary. I may be wrong when I say that the angel is addressing Mary, but we see here, you know, I'm just gonna turn and tell it myself and get it in the scripture here. I know it's on the board. I have maybe said something there that I shouldn't have said, but let me say this, when we come to the Gospels, this is the first mention of that name. In chapter 1, And verse 21, and I said the angel was addressing Mary. The angel's actually talking to Joseph. I thought I'd said something wrong there. But the angel's talking to Joseph. Verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, so there's the first mention in the Gospels of that name, Jesus. Now, it says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I want to say about that name, that name is the name that the devil hates.
Right.
There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved.
Amen.
But this, there's no other, there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. You know, let me say this morning, the devil hates that name. He hates the name of Jesus. He hates that name. He hates it because it's the way back to God.
Amen.
He hates it this morning because God sent his son into the world, and this was the coming of God's son into the world, and this was the declaration of the name Jesus. And God gave a declaration when he sent the angel, and he said, you shall call his name Jesus. And Joseph is under instruction. Now, he's under instruction not only to take Mary as his wife, but he's also under instruction to call the child Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Jesus didn't pick his own name. The Father picked his name. Mary didn't pick the name. Joseph didn't pick the name. Nobody on earth picked the name. I want to say that name came from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the devil hates it. The devil hates that name. He doesn't care if you mention every other name. He never wants to mention that name. He hates that name. Now, you see, sometimes we can go in the world, and when I don't mean to say we go in the world, but the world takes that name and they take it as a swear word. You see, the devil wants to pervert it. Now, he wants to take that name and pervert it and make it that it's non-effective. Make it that it's non-effective. It's just a byword. It's just a swear word. It has become of non-importance. It has become, as it were, powerless. And that's the work of the enemy. Now, I want to move on. You see, it's very interesting here. We have read it. I have read through the scripture in Hebrews, and I want to go back over it again. And I want to just see how that name was declared. Now, maybe read a few verses. We've read the verses from 10, and we'll maybe just read that again from verse 10 down, because it It's talking here, it's mentioned here about Christ and about the suffering of Christ. Now, we know that Christ suffered on the cross, didn't he? But he didn't only suffer on the cross. He suffered with ungodly men because they were a contradiction to him. And they were a contradiction to what he was. And there is a verse, I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm going to just try and quote it to you, but it's Hebrews chapter 12. Maybe Matthew, you could bring that up, please. It's Hebrews chapter 12 and it's verse 3. And it said, to consider him, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Now, I want you this morning to see the importance of this name. And I want, now I'm not saying you don't already see it, you do. You know it. But I want to reassure you, I want to remind you of the importance of this name. And I want to say that Christ suffered in more ways than one. More than being on the cross, he suffered. He suffered temptation, didn't he? And let me say this now. We know that God doesn't tempt anybody, but the devil's the tempter. He's the tempter. But if we look to the Lord, whenever the Lord came out of the waters of baptism at Jordan, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And it said he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says, in them days he did eat nothing. And afterward, he hungereth. Now, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he wasn't hungry. He wasn't hungry. Now, don't, if you're fasting, I'm not saying you'll not be hungry. But Jesus wasn't hungry when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, afterward he hungereth. But, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this the last time I was trying to speak to you, but I spoke with a man, and he informed me that the devil never speaks to Christians. That is pure nonsense. That is total rubbish. Now, I'm not here to condemn a man for saying something. Not here. The greatest Christian that ever walked, the devil come and spoke to him.
Amen.
His name was Jesus.
Amen.
He was in the wilderness. And the Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And when he sent him into the world, he said, Satan, you do whatever you want. You try it with him. This is not Mary, or sorry, this is not Eve. This is, it's not Adam. This is the second, this is the man from heaven.
Amen.
You try him. You try him, and Satan comes, and it's a contradiction, you see, for he says, if thou be the Son of God.
That's right.
If you're the Son of God, what are you doing in the wilderness? If you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Mm-hmm. You see, so there's the contradiction right away. If you're the Son of God, you see, the devil wanted to try to tell Jesus that he wasn't the Son of God. Let me tell you this. He was wasting his time. The devil was wasting his time when he came down to tempt Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And let me say, he wasn't only the Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. And let me say, oh, He endured that. And you know, we know this morning that every time the devil come tell him, he answered him with a word.
Yes. Amen.
He said, if you're the Son of God, he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. You see, the devil tries to quote the word to the word.
That's right.
Well, he's wasting his time. He's trying to tell the word, the word. He's trying to tell the Son of God, first of all, you're not really the Son of God. You know, he'll come to you and only try to tell you, you're not really a Christian. He's a liar.
Right.
He'll tell you you're not saved. He'll tell you you're not healed. He'll tell you you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you you can't have it. He'll tell you you're not, it's not for you. It's for somebody else, but it's not for you. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I don't know where this man got that theory that the devil never speaks to him. Nor never speaks to Christians. I tell you, when you read about Jesus coming out of the wilderness, it says the devil departed from him for a season. He came back. He came back. What the Bible says, resist him. And he's free from you.
Amen.
You have to resist him. Don't entertain him.
Amen.
He come knocking on the door. You have to open the door to let him in. Keep him out. Like an old boy that used to live down the road, and he talked about a boy who was living in a house, and he shouldn't really been in the house. And this old boy said, I know what I would do with him. He said, I would show him the sunny side of the latch. The latch is what used to, the young people wouldn't know what a latch is, but a latch used to be a latch on the door. You put your thumb, pushed it down, you open the door. He said he would show him the sunny side of the latch. No, I'd show him, the dark side. For us, where he's for, he's going to be in outer darkness, the devil. Show him the sunny side of the latch. Out. Don't let him in. But don't you worry, he'll come napping. And he'll attack you in your mind. And he'll tell you, it's not working. This is not working. This is not going to work. You see, he's a contradiction to the truth.
Right. Amen.
He was a contradiction to Jesus Christ. And he's a contradiction to that name. He, you know what he does today? He says, oh, the days of miracles is past. He tried to tell you the gifts is on the shelf.
That's right.
Well, he's a liar.
Amen.
Amen.
If the gifts is on the shelf, you could never be saved.
Right.
For by grace are you saved through faith. For that matter yourself, but it's what? The gift.
Amen.
The gift. I tell you, the gift's real today.
Amen.
The gifts of, and callings of God are without repentance.
Glory.
Amen. Right.
God never had to change his mind one time about his word. You see, but I'm meant to be talking about the name here. It says in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, I want you to notice the word sufferings in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus didn't only suffer once, but there was many times he had to suffer. Mm-hmm. Through sufferings. And through the contradiction of sinners against himself. And I'm glad that he suffered. I'm glad that Christ suffered. And somebody says, well, he mustn't have been perfect. Well, I believe he was perfect. But I believe that the Father wanted to prove to Satan that Satan could do whatever he wants. And it wasn't going to change it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Now, I'm glad. Now, it said, for it became him. It became him For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, it says, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, the Lord's not ashamed to call you brethren this morning. He's not ashamed to call you brethren. He's not ashamed because God loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
And you know, what is the devil going to do with that this morning? The Lord, can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Well, he's not ashamed this morning to call you brother. He's not ashamed to call you brethren.
Amen.
He's not. He has boldness, he has confidence this morning to call you brethren. And it says that it became him. That means, and there's another word, I'm not sure if it's in here or not, but there's a word, behoved. And it means it is just like something that God would do.
Amen.
It's just like something that God would do. Now, this is the part that I want to try to come till now. It says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So, there's one that sanctifies you this morning. There's one that was sanctified. That was Christ. Christ was sanctified. And he was sanctified unto the Father. And we're sanctified this morning also unto the Father through his name.
Amen.
We're sanctified by the word of God this morning. Mm-hmm. So, we're all of one this morning. It's God. And then in verse 12 he says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And we see here in verse 12, and this is the psalmist David, I believe it was, he said that in Psalm 22:22, in there he's saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And you know, David prophesied of the declaring of the name
Amen.
Of the Father. And that was the name of Jesus.
Right.
I believe that this morning. And I believe that David prophesied that God would declare the name of his only begotten Son. And he said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, he didn't say he would declare unto the heathen, but he said he would declare it unto the brethren. God, you know, when you got saved because God declared the name of his only begotten Son unto you.
Amen.
Nobody saved outside the name of Jesus. No salvation outside the name of Jesus. No cleansing, no forgiveness of sins outside the name of Jesus. Now, just to continue on with this for a moment here, haven't maybe said much about the sufferings, and I don't want to take a lot of time on that this morning, but this name of Jesus, here we see it here, they said, I will declare thy name unto the brethren. I will declare thy name unto the brethren. Who said it? God said it. The Lord said it. I will declare thy name unto the brethren. Now, if you just think with me for a moment, I talked a bit about the Lord being into the wilderness. And he was tempted of the devil, and it was 40 days and 40 nights. And every time the devil come, he answered him with the word of God. You know, every time the devil comes to tempt us, we need to answer him with the word. We need to say, I know all that. I know what you're telling me seems to be right, but this is what the word says. And I'll stick with the word. I'll stick with what Jesus said. I'll stick with the word of God. But can you, do you know the part, this very, all the life of Jesus is interesting, isn't it? There's not one day in his life that's dull. There's not one day in his life that's not interesting, but we see him coming out of the wilderness. And when you read that Jesus was coming out of the wilderness, you read these words. You read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee.
Amen.
Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now, there was a temptation that was on Jesus in the wilderness, and he resisted that temptation, and he overcame it by the word. And, you know, whenever you're tempted and you resist that temptation, let me tell you this, the Holy Ghost comes and rests on you. The Spirit of God can come and rest on you when you resist the devil. The Spirit of God will come and rest upon you. And when Jesus resisted the devil, now we know he received the Holy Ghost at Jordan when he was baptized. Didn't the Holy Ghost descended and remained upon him? And John said, he ascended to baptize, said, upon whom thou shalt see the Holy Ghost descending and remaining on, he's the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Jesus went out. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But the good news is he was tempted of the devil. He resisted the devil. He overcame him by the word. And he returns. He still has the power of God on him.
Amen.
You know, you might be tempted of the devil, but that doesn't mean God has took the power off you. The devil might come and tempt you. He might try to tell you lies. And that's, he's the father of all lies. He might come and tell you a lie, try to rob you, or tell you you're not really what you're meant to be. You're not really that. But the power of God doesn't leave you. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And the Bible says that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. I think it's Luke 4 and 18. If it's not Luke 4 and 18, it's Luke 3 and 18. If you turn it up, Matthew, you'll see here where Jesus comes in, and they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can we get that? It's Luke 4 and it's 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And let me say this. Because he has anointed me, first of all, to preach the gospel.
Amen.
To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. I tell you, that's the declaration of that man. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes on a man or a woman, somebody's going to look at you. Because you're going to do something that's strange. You're going to do something that's not earthly, but you're going to do something that's heavenly.
Amen.
The Bible says the eyes of all them were fastened upon him. And what did he say? He said, this day is the Scripture fulfilled.
Amen.
This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, don't think that that was the only day. Don't think that was the only day. It was fulfilled every day. It was fulfilled every day in the life of Jesus. Let me tell you, when you resist the devil, God can fulfill the Scripture in your day. God can fulfill the Scripture in your day for your need, for your circumstances. God can and God will fulfill the Scripture. See, close the book and he sat down. But you see, he done the miracles and they said, that fellow's only Joseph's son. He's only the son of Joseph. Whence has he this authority? Whence has he this power? Where did he get these words? He's only Joseph's son. We know him. There was a multitude thronging Jesus, and they come up to Jesus and they said, your mother and your brethren's without wanting to speak with you. Your brother said you have took leave of your senses. What did Jesus say? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? But they that will do the will of my Father,
amen,
which is in heaven. I want to tell you, you're God's brother. I want to tell you, you're God's sister. It's not good to know you're the brother. You've got a brother. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the devil's acting the big brother on the TV, isn't it? He's a perverter. He's a perverter. He can never create nothing. He can't do anything, only pervert. He only can take something that God has done and try to pervert it. And he's trying to pervert this word. He's trying to move us into the 21st century, isn't it? He's trying to tell us that this book is out of date. Out of date. I know a farmer once, and he wanted to know who was the man who put the dates on the food in the grocery store. He said, who is it? That's what he said. He said, who is that man? Who is the man that could look at an egg and say that egg will be out of date next week? Wonder what he would have done if he had to put the phone earphones on. What do you call that machine that the doctor puts on? Sounds you. Wonder what he would have done if old Sarah come in for a medical. Wonder what he would have said. He said, Sarah, you're out of date. You're past your sell-by date. Your shelf life's over. Nobody wants you. Tell you who has got a sell by date and use by date. The devil. Satan has got a use by date. He's got an expiry date. He has got an appointment with death and hell. Not only has he got an appointment with death and hell, he's got an appointment with the lake of fire. I tell you, all that will follow him have the same appointment. But we're not looking for that appointment. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that has foundation. I tell you, Abraham got up early in the morning and he went and he looked for that city, didn't he? He looked for the city. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you, the Lord is good. You see, I'm trying to tell you that Jesus declared his Father's name. Well, it's not even 10 past. It seems as if I've spent a lot of time. I just need to stay with this portion of Scripture. I don't want to go away from it for a moment. I'm glad Jesus came to declare his Father's name. And verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. That is the devil.
Amen.
You know, I know, listen, while you're here on this earth, you're going to suffer temptations. You are. The devil's going to come and tempt you. He's going to come and try to rob you. He's going to come and tell you lies. He's going to come and he's against you. And but there's something this morning or this afternoon now that we can't say. We can't say that, oh, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. If you only knew what I was going through. If you only knew the way the devil comes and attacks me. If you only knew. Listen, he's done the same with Jesus. Because Jesus took part. Now, I wanted to speak this morning about partakers. We're partakers this morning. But Jesus also was a partaker. And it says in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. You're a partaker of flesh and blood this morning. You're a partaker. You're a partaker of flesh and blood. And you know, you were a partaker of flesh and blood. Let me say this. The moment you were conceived in the womb.
Amen.
The moment a child is conceived in the womb, it's a partaker of flesh and blood. Now, it has never maybe lived on the earth, but it's still flesh. There's still something there, isn't there? There's something in the womb that's alive. There's a life there. Now we see, and we're going down that road, but we see how that people rejoiced over the death of them lives.
Yes.
Rejoicing. That's the devil.
Yes, right.
Let me say this, the devil says die, yes, but Jesus says live.
Amen.
The devil says kill, but Jesus says no, give life.
Amen.
The devil says make sick, but Jesus says no, recover.
Amen.
Amen.
See, the devil's the opposite from everything that God wants.
Yes.
He's the opposite. He's the opposite to life. He's death. He's the opposite to love. He's hatred. He's the opposite to peace. He's torment. He's anxiety. He's the opposite to hope and faith. He's fear. Hellish fear. Devilish fear. He's the opposite to mercy. He's revenge. Isn't he? He's a murderer. Just like Cain was off the wicked ones. And he rose up and he slew Abel. See how the devil works. I have to move on, but Jesus Christ took part. I'm glad he took part in flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him that is the power of death. That is the devil. I tell you, when Jesus rose from the dead, he destroyed the power of death. I'm glad for the resurrection.
Amen.
You know, the devil hates about the resurrection. He hates to hear about the resurrection. He hates to hear about the whole gospel. He hates to hear that Jesus came. He hates the name Jesus. He wants to pervert it and make it of none effect. Now, I need to move on. And he delivered us. Verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Now that's that word behoved. That word behoved means it's just like something that God would do.
Amen.
It behoved him. It became him. It behoved him to die on the cross. It behoved him to take our sins away. It behoved him that by his stripes we were healed. That is just like something
Amen.
He would do. You know, every time somebody came to Jesus in the scripture, they always got delivered. Every time somebody come looking for help, for healing, for a touch, they always got it. I'm glad that it behoved him. And it says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to make like unto his brethren, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know, where is Jesus today? He's still a merciful and faithful high priest. Isn't he? Isn't that good to know? He's a merciful and he's a faithful high priest. You know, he's full of mercy. He's merciful. Someone who is merciful has got all the mercy. If you're merciful, there's no more mercy can be added to you. I tell you, there's not a speck of mercy can be added to Christ this morning or this afternoon. He has it all.
Amen.
Mercy. God has mercy. Lord in wrath, remember mercy.
Amen.
And here's this man, and he's merciful. He's not only merciful, he's faithful. He's faithful. Means there's nothing more can be added to him. He's faithful. If somebody's faithful, it is what it says. They're faithful. You can't say, I'm a bit low this morning on faith. No, he's faithful. You know, I'm going to say this when I laugh about it when I think about this. I'm going to say this. You know, sometimes you're good at picking holes in what other people say. But sometimes people say things that are false. And people sit and shout, Amen. So something that's false. Now, a man once said, and I have never been talking to the man personally, but if I was, I maybe wouldn't mention it, but if it did come round, I would tell him, you're wrong. I believe he's wrong. He said that God was sitting up in heaven, and God was waiting. What was he waiting for? He was waiting till he'd have enough faith. God was waiting till he'd have enough faith, and then he'd speak a word into existence. You see, if God ever had to wait one time till he would have faith, he'd maybe have to wait a day or two again sometime. That's false. That's false. May God give us discernment. God never had to wait till he had enough faith. Outside of God, there is no such thing as faith. He is faith. He invented faith. Faith was waiting for God to speak. There couldn't be faith without God.
Amen.
If there was no God, there'd be no faith in God. How could you have faith in something that's not there? God never had to wait till he got up. Well, he got up one morning, boy, he got a good breakfast that morning, maybe. Can you imagine God saying, oh, I don't feel like it today. I don't think I've got faith enough today to speak the word. God never had a wait. God never needed the battery charged. He made the charger. He is the charger.
Amen.
Be light and there was light.
Amen.
Now, I don't know why I said that, but I've said it. I'm sorry. But it says in verse 18, you know, he's making reconciliation for the sins of the people. He has made reconciliation. Verse 18 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. You know, God's with you when you're being tempted. You're not on your own. That word soccer means to support and build up and give strength. So God's able to support you, he's able to build you up, and he's able to give you strength. He's able to soccer them that are tempted. And then, I know it's a different chapter, but the next verse is verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You know, there it is. What is he calling you? And we believe that the apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Hebrews. But he addresses you. He's addressing you as holy brethren. Wherefore, holy brethren? That's how God sees you. He sees you as holy. God sees you as holy, brethren. And you know, you might say, oh, John, I'm not holy. Well, we know the Bible says that holy and reverend is his name. But any holiness we have this morning, any holiness I have this morning, it's not mine, it's his. And when you get the Spirit of God, you get the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when you get the Holy Spirit, you become holy. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit will make you holy. And when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You got a measure of that Spirit. Now when you're saved, you have a measure of the Spirit, but when you get filled with the Spirit, you have more of the same Holy Spirit. You have more of that Spirit that saved your soul. You have more of that Spirit that dwells within you, that made you pass from death unto life. It's God's Holy Spirit. And he says, wherefore, holy brethren, and then he did. Now this is what I wanted to talk about, but it's not going to happen this morning. Don't worry about it. Partakers of the heavenly calling. I want you to know this morning, or this afternoon, I keep saying that word this morning, this afternoon, you are partakers of the heavenly calling. Now what is the heavenly calling? Well, let me say this, it's not an earthly one. It's not an earthly one. There was no man down here called you. There was no woman down here called you. There was no good friend called you. There was nobody here on earth that called you. God called you.
Amen.
God called you. And God's calling is a heavenly calling. Now, Jesus spoke with Nicodemus, didn't he? Jesus said to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, let me say, first came to Jesus and said, Master, we know you're a teacher sent from God. And the wee song says, and Jesus said, be born again. He said, you must be born again. He said, how can I be born again being a man? Now that's earthly, you see. That's earthly. How can I be born again being a man? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Boy, that's earthly. Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He says, marvel not when I say unto you, you must be born again. You see, the contradiction of sinners today, and I'm going back to the days that that business, you don't need to worry about that no more. That was for them, it's not for now. See, that's a lie from the devil. That's a contradiction of sinners. But Jesus goes on to say, he says, we speak that we do know. That's what he said to Nicodemus. We speak that we do know. Now, what does that mean? It means if you don't know what you're talking about, you haven't got to say it. You can't talk about something you know nothing about. But today, people are talking about things that they know nothing about. And it brings confusion. And the word confusion means Babylon. Babylon. So it means the people come in confused and go out even more confused, because people have spoke that which they know not. But Jesus said, we speak that we do know. And he says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? And that's what he said to Nicodemus. Now, I'm going on. Let us press on. I want to say that you're a partaker. You're a partaker of the heavenly calling. Why are we here this morning? We're here this morning because we're partakers of the heavenly call. Why do we go to church? We go to church because we're partakers of the heavenly calling. Why do we read the Bible? Because we're partakers of the heavenly calling. Why are we waiting on the Lord coming again? Because we're partakers of the heavenly calling. Why do we believe God for signs and wonders and miracles this morning or this afternoon? Because we're partakers of the heavenly calling. Why do we not run with the Word? See, the Word never called us. God called you. That's why you're separated from the Word. Jesus said, I sanctify myself because of these that the Father had given me. And then he prayed, and we're going to turn to that quickly. He prayed that the Lord would sanctify them that he had given him. Now, maybe we'll just turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12. And I'm coming to the close. I'm using up a lot of time. I don't know if I'm getting across what I'm meant to get across. John chapter 12, the Gospel of John in chapter 12. And I love this chapter. You see, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, there's a few verses I want to read with you, but I want to also go down and say something about it. First of all, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, all the disciples is in a house, and they're sitting, they're having a meal, and there's a woman comes in, and in verse 3, John 12 and verse 3, it says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment and of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, said, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to beg and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, 'Let her alone, against the day of my burial hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always.'" Now Jesus was saying he wouldn't always be here in a physical body, but he said the poor would always be here. And the woman anoints him with this fragrance, and the fragrance fills the house. And Judas said, "Why was this waste?" But you see, Mary had something. She had a revelation that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross. She had a revelation that he was going to go up to Jerusalem and give his life and shed his blood to make reconciliation, to make an atonement for the sins of the world. And she kept this bottle of this very precious ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus. Now I want to go on, and we go on through the chapter, and we find that he's coming into Jerusalem, and the people's putting down branches for him, and he comes on in there, and there's a part where Jesus, he's speaking with his disciples. Now I don't believe that Judas is with him when he speaks these words here. We're chapter 12 of John's Gospel. And read verse 23. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour.'" Now verse 27, very important. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." Now Jesus came to go to the cross. Jesus came to go to the cross. Jesus came to die on the cross. The Father couldn't die because he hadn't a body. But God became a man in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood. And that's the main purpose why Jesus came. And now listen to what Jesus says in verse 28. He says, "Father, glorify thy name." He never said, "Father, glorify my name." Thy name. Now that was the name Jesus. It was Jesus was the name. He said, "Glorify thy name." Now listen, this was very important to the Father. This here was very important. This was, if you want a revelation, this is a revelation. Jesus Christ declared the name of the Father. And the name of the Father was Jesus. And he declared that name. And he prays, he's going to go to the cross. He's going to give his life on the cross. He's going to shed his blood. He's going to be raised from the dead the third day according to the scripture. And then he's going to send the Holy Ghost on the believers. But he says, "Father, glorify thy name." And when Jesus said that, we read, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Let me tell you this. God can do it again. Now, Jesus will never have to go to the cross again. But anything that God ever done one time, he can do it again. And he says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. I have done it, and I will do it again. I tell you, he said, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. And the Lord, the voice from heaven came. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. And then he goes on to say, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Let me tell you, whenever Christ went to the cross, there was a judgment in heaven. And Satan was cast out of heaven. He lost another strike. He lost a realm in heaven. There was a realm in heaven that he could go to, and he never could go back there again after Calvary. I believe that. He was cast out. And Jesus said, now is the prince of this world judged. Now is he cast out. Now Satan lost the keys right there of hell and of death. He lost the keys of the kingdom. And the Lord took them. I believe that with all my heart. Now where am I? And then verse 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Thank God that he was lifted up. This he said, signifying what death he should die. But I want you just to notice there that the Lord prayed, Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, don't worry, I'm coming till a close. I want to turn to John's Gospel, and it's chapter 17. And some wonderful verses here. And just bear with me a moment. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, if somebody doesn't know the only true God, they have no life. If somebody doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no life, they have an existence, but it's going to end. To know him is to have life. To know Christ is to have eternal life. And here Jesus is praying to the Father again, and he's saying, glorify thy Son. And first of all, he prays, glorify thy name. And then he says it more plainly when he says, glorify thy Son. Now his name was Jesus. That was the name that the Father gave him. Now listen to verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. I tell you, Jesus glorified the Father. He said, it's not me that does it. It's the Father that does the works. He says, if you don't believe me, believe me for the very work's sake. And they said, when he opened the eyes of a man that was born blind, they said, never was it seen on earth that any man opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. But when Jesus done them things, he glorified the Father, didn't he? And he glorified that name. Hallelujah. And it says, I have manifested thy name unto them which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and have believed that thou didst send me. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now I want you to notice now, not, I don't want to make it sound like a Bible study, but I want you to notice Jesus said, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. You're kept through the name of Jesus. Keep through thine own name. It's the name of Jesus that keeps you. It's the Father's own name. Now I don't want you to say, well, we'll go up to heaven, we're going to see Jesus the Father and Jesus the Son. No. You're only going to see one.
Amen.
There's one sitting on the throne. But Jesus prayed to the Father and he says, keep through thine own name. You know, there's people today and they're wanting to know what is that name of the Father. It's the name Jesus.
Amen.
It's the name that he gave. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And Jesus says, I have declared thy name. How did he declare it? He declared it whenever he come down and he was outside the tomb of Lazarus and he said, roll the stone back. He said he's dead 4 days. I didn't ask how long he was dead. I said, roll the stone back. And he said, Jesus come forth, and Lazarus came forth and stood. He declared the name every time he done a miracle. He declared the name every time he raised the dead or healed the sick or cleansed the leper. He declared the name. And he says, keep through thine own name them. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, I know I've taken up a lot of time. Verse 26 of John 17 is the last verse that I'm reading. It says, Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. You know, if you'd have met Jesus after the resurrection, that would have been great, wouldn't it? Would have been very good. But you know, if you walk up to Jesus, could you imagine meeting him after the resurrection and that resurrection morning? And could you imagine him being on the Mount of Olives before he was transfigured or before he was caught up? Could you imagine just walking up to the Lord and saying, what have you been doing? What have you been doing here? He just look at you and say, I've been declaring the Father's name. That's what he was doing. I've been declaring the Father's name. You know what the Bible says about the Lord? It says he's exalted. It says that God has given him a name. God has given him a name. Man never gave it to him.
Amen.
God gave it to him. And it says that God has given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. I thank God today. I've went on a long time. I'm sorry. Can we sing something? Can we worship the Lord? And maybe you don't know that one, Gary. It's hard to play. Or maybe your brother Terry, if you can play Abby's chorus. He is exalted. He is exalted. Don't know that one. He is exalted. Oh, I hardly remember it myself. He's exalted above all. There's not a wee one to know that one. Be thou exalted, O Lord. and thy glory be upon the whole earth.
Amen.
Be thou exalted, O Lord. You see, the devil doesn't never want the Lord to be exalted. He wants to put him down. But I tell you, he's exalted. The Lord's risen today.
Amen.
The Lord's risen today. Hallelujah. You know, I want us to talk about being a partaker. Never really do what I maybe meant to do, but I started and then I went off. I went about this name. But I could see the sufferings of Christ. You know, you're maybe in this room this morning and you're suffering the contradictions of sinners. What does that mean? That means that whenever you say you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, they'll say, no, he's not. That means that whenever you say, I believe that a man can pass from death unto life and get forgiveness of sins, they'll say, oh no, that's not the case, not any longer. That means if you say, we need to be saved, they want to come and say, oh no, you don't need to worry about that. See, it's a contradiction. They want to say the days of miracles is over. That's a contradiction. But Paul said it in Hebrews 12 and 3. He says, consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. See, the devil said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If you're a Christian, why are you going through this? If you're a believer, why this, why that? Oh, he said he would give the angels charge over thee. And then he says, look, I tell you, if you couldn't take you that road, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you famous. If you fall down and worship me, I'll make you famous, Lord. I'll give you all these kingdoms. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But Satan left him for a season and then he come back again. But I'm glad that Jesus had power over him. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He had power over him. You know, the best thing we can do this morning is just pray, and then Guy's going to come and close our meeting. But why don't you believe the Lord this morning for the supernatural? You know, you're a partaker of the heavenly calling. You didn't get the calling from any man. No man called you. You're not saved because somebody else. You're saved because God loved you. And Jesus said that, I glanced over it, but he said, I have declared thy name unto them, that they may know that thou hast loved me, and that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them. God loves you this morning. God loves his people. God loved the church and gave himself for the church. Now I know it's just a simple prayer, but that's how God works. God answers prayer. God wants you to pray. God wants you to have faith. Now, we're here this morning in his name. We're here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That also can mean that you are a representation of him. What you are is what he is. Let me say that again. What he is what you are. What Jesus is what you are meant to be. I believe that. And he's the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. Let us just keep our heads bowed for a moment. And let us just call upon his name for a moment. Let everybody pray this morning. Let us just pray and ask God. Why don't you ask him for something this morning? And I know maybe you have already asked him. You're already believing him. That's okay. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Father, this morning, we thank you that it's so simple that sometimes we miss it. But we thank you, Lord, that all that we ever need, you have done and provided for us. And Lord, this morning, we thank you that our calling is a heavenly calling. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that you came. And we say, Holy Spirit, won't you teach us more about that lovely name? Lord, this morning, I want the declaration of your name among your people again. And Lord, I say again, I know, Lord, you've already done it. But Lord, for the manifestation of your power among us, for your power to be released upon us again in a special way. Lord, your name has been, Father, we say your name has been declared. The Apostle Paul said, the whole family of, he said he would bow his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Lord, that name is Jesus. And we speak that name by faith now. We speak the name of Jesus. And we say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Oh, just like blind Bartimaeus cried out when he heard you were passing by, we cry out now this morning, Lord, and we believe you're as close now as what you were to Bartimaeus when you walked that road to the cruel cross. And he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible, your word tells us that you stood still and commanded him to be called and brought. And when he came to you, Lord, you said, what will I that I should do for you? And Lord, this morning, we have many to need in this room. Lord, there's many things here this morning. If we were asked to write it on a piece of paper, perhaps we could fill a sheet, or perhaps we have one line, but whatever we would write down this morning, or would come to memory, we bring it now to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name that's above every name. And we ask for a manifestation of its power among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say it. Amen. We believe, Lord, you know our hearts. You know what's on our hearts. We maybe haven't said a lot. We maybe messed up what we have said. But God, you know this morning what's on our hearts and in our souls and in our spirits. We commit this service to you, and we commit what was said to you. And we ask, Lord, the seed will fall into the ground, and just like you said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I ask, Lord, for a bringing forth this morning, in Jesus' name, that we might be partakers. Lord, that we might know of a surety that we have partook. Not that we'll see or hear only, but that we'll be partakers of that divine nature. In Jesus' precious name. I pray, Lord, for people this morning who need a touch from you. I ask you, Lord, you'll touch them now. I pray, God, for people who need a miracle. I ask you'll give them a miracle now. I ask you, Lord, for men and women, Lord, who have maybe pains, the pains will leave them. In Jesus' name. We rebuke pains this morning. Lord, we ask for fear, that fears will go from people, and contradictions of sinners will be rebuked in Jesus' name. I ask this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and not be a contradiction of sinners, but it'll be the Word of God fulfilled in our lives. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a wee chorus. I don't know if we can sing it. But maybe we can sing it. It's that wee chorus. It's the simplest one that ever was. Only believe.
Amen.
Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. You keep on believing the Lord this morning. Because there's a heavenly calling on your life. One of these days we're going to be out of here. And don't fear the enemy. The Lord has overcome him. I'm glad that Jesus came. Praise the Lord. Can we sing that, Guy? Can we sing that? It's only believe. Only believe. Maybe Terry, can you play it, brother Terry? Only believe. Only believe. You know, I wanted to sing a hymn this morning, but I'm not going to attempt to sing it. It's When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on which the Prince of Glory died, by riches gained I count them loss, and poor content in all my pride. Do you have that on the laptop? Brother Matthew. Consider him this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. It's 161 in the Redemption hymn book. You know, it's a wonderful hymn. It's an old hymn. You know, maybe we will sing it. Many people know this hymn. Ah, there's enough of us.
You know, I'm going to ask you this, Stones. I never do what I say I'm going to do, but I'm going to ask you this, Stones. I'm going to try and sing it this morning. There's four verses here. Listen to verse 2. I'm going to read it out. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. That e'er such love and sorrow meet, are thorns composed so rich a bride. With the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Praise the Lord. No. You think, can we sing it? Well, we're going to sing it then. We'll sing not only the leave after we sing it. We're going to try and sing it. Praise the Lord. I try and make this off, and hopefully I'll get it nearly right. And you just join in and sing it. And you know, it's the words this morning. Praise the Lord. It's slow. It's a bit slow. But it's the words this morning. I believe they're so true. Praise the Lord. When I survey the Lord.